I don't know a lot about the corona situation. I try to keep up with it, but there's so many sources out there with different ideas. But a friend of mine, a lifelong friend, Chuck Metters, sent me a four-minute, maybe five-minute explanation, and I call it in English. What I mean by that is I was told many years ago that you should always try to do your talks and your seminars as if you're talking to the eighth grade. And that doesn't mean to belittle anybody. But when you're not a scientist, talking science is a little hard to understand. You know, if I'm not a nuclear physicist, I don't understand nuclear power. But this particular writing, which I've altered just a bit to fit the format, but it's exactly what he sent to me, was written so that the average citizen, the person that's just on the street, that does have, I certainly had confusions about what's the difference in corona? Why are we talking about it different than normal influenza? So if you'll bear with me, I would really recommend you take a listen or two to this. Listen a couple times and you'll get an idea why it is indeed, pardon the pun, a different animal that we're dealing with. Like me, have you been kind of feeling confused as to why coronavirus is a bigger deal than seasonal flu? Here it is in a nutshell. I hope it helps. Feel free to share this with others who are really interested or just don't understand. It has to do with the RNA sequencing, in other words, in our plain old English, genetics. Seasonal flu is an all-human virus. The DNA RNA chains that make up that virus are recognized by the human immune system. This means that your body has some normal immunity to it before it comes around each year. You get immunity two ways, through exposure to a virus or by getting a flu shot. Novel viruses come from animals. The WHO, which is the World Health Organization, for those who don't do a lot of study in this, track novel viruses in animals, sometimes for years, watching for mutations. Usually these viruses only transfer from an animal to an animal. In other words, pigs in the cases of H1N1, birds in the case of what was called the Spanish flu. But once one of these animals' viruses mutates and starts to transfer from animals to humans, then there is a problem. Why? Because in cases like that, we have no natural or acquired immunity. The RNA sequencing of the genes inside the virus isn't human. And the human immune system does not recognize it as so. So we have no way to naturally fight it off. Now, sometimes the mutation only allows transfer from animal to human. As a rule, for years, its only transmission is from an infected animal to a human before it finally mutates so that it can now transfer from human to human. Once that happens, we have a new contagion phase. And depending on the fashion of this new mutation, that's what decides on how contagious or how deadly it's going to be. Indeed, H1N1 was deadly, but it did not mutate in a way that was as deadly as the Spanish flu. Its RNA was slower to mutate, and it attacked its host differently, too. Let's fast forward here. Now, here comes the coronavirus. It existed in animals only. Nobody knows how long. But one day, at an animal market in Wuhan, China, December of 2019, we happen to know it mutated and made the jump from animal to people. At first, only animals could give it to a person. But here's the scary part. In just 2 weeks, it mutated again and gained the ability to jump from human to human. Scientists call this quick ability, I wish there was a fancier name for this, slippery. Stick with that. This coronavirus, not being in any form a quote-unquote human virus, whereas we would all have some natural or acquired immunity if it was, took off like a rocket. And this was because humans have no known immunity, doctors have no known medicines for it at this time. And it just so happens that this particular mutated animal virus changed itself in such a way that it causes great damage to our human lungs. That's why coronavirus is different from seasonal flu, or the H1N1, or any other type of influenza. This one is, quoting the scientist again, slippery. And it's a lung eater. And it's already mutated again, so that we now have two strains to deal with. They call one a strain S, one a call strain L, which makes it twice as hard to develop a vaccine for. Basically, we just really have no tools in our shed at this time that'll work with this particular virus. What we do know that history has shown that fast and immediate closings of public places has helped in the past pandemics. Philadelphia and Baltimore were reluctant to close events back in 1918, and they were the hardest hit in the United States during what was then called the Spanish flu. Here's a factoid for you that's kind of interesting, because if you know his history, it's kind of strange. Henry VIII stayed in his room and allowed no one near him till the Black Plague passed. They always said he's a very strange man. Now I kind of understand it better. Just like us, he had no tools in his human shed to prevent it except social isolation. And since I'm in my 70s right now, let me end by saying this. Right now, it's hitting old folks harder. But this genome is so slippery, that word again, if it mutates again, and it will almost surely, who is to say what'll happen next? Be smart, folks. Acting like you're unafraid is so not smart right now. Think about this. Flatten the curve. Stay home, folks, all you can, and share this to those who just have not caught on yet. Be careful and be safe.